This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Yeah, it's Damian Lemon. This is In the Conversation. Unfortunately, I'm in the airport. Not actually, unfortunately. Fortunately, I'm in the airport, but I'm not in the studio. My man Ali Muhammad is actually still in the studio holding it down, the voice of your choice. And we got the fan favorite in the building, L. Clay. She's there. And we got a newcomer to the conversation, a good friend of mine, very funny comedian, Chris Lambert. He's got a dope podcast called The Mundane Festival. I'm literally in the middle of the airport, sitting in a section that's not even by my gate, speaking into my phone, looking like a pure terrorist. Oof, I hope I don't get tackled for saying terrorist twice out loud in a good old airport. Anyway, shout out to everybody that came out to the Arlington Improv, man. We had a blast. It was a hell of a weekend. Shout out to my man, Alfred Kenga, for hosting. Shout out to Joel Reynolds. Shout out to everybody that came through. The second timers, the newcomers, we had a blast. That Saturday night, first show, second show. Very important moments of the weekend. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. What else? Oh, check out At Midnight. I think I'm on it tonight. If not, I'll tweet when I am. But that's where I'm going right now. And shit, like I said, conversation don't stop. So as always, tell a friend to tell a friend, and even your enemy, to get in the conversation. Here it go.
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, you are now in the conversation, and I am the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad. Damian Lemon is on the road, Vladimir Camayo is on the West Coast, and I'm here, but I brought two friends along. On my front-hand side, I got my man Chris Lambert from the Mundane Festival podcast.
What's going on? Thanks for having me, man.
No diggity, no doubt. And on my right-hand side, I got the conversationalist L. Clay.
Hello, hello, hello.
Back in the building. What's up, y'all?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
Tell me how you really feel.
Exhausted. Too much Met fashion on my timeline.
Oh, Lord.
just happy to be here, coming off a day of doing the TPS reports and now just kicking it with you guys. So it's all love.
And welcome to all the conversationalists out there that's listening, that's here every week. Shout out to all of y'all. And what's happening, y'all? You said something about the Met.
Yeah, they like dominated. Like all social media feeds.
Yeah, just like around, 7:30, 8 o'clock, just the feed just comes up with all of the women in the dresses, mm-hmm. like Beyonce's dress, and then the memes of her taking pictures with Odell Beckham Jr. and Idris Elba.
What was that about?
She was taking pictures of them, and like they showed pictures of like her with Odell, her with Idris.
Who, Beyonce?
Beyonce with them. And like a picture of Jay-Z looking startled. And like a little like bee emojis and lemonade. Lemons and all over the place.
You have to see the one.
It was the speculation report.
Yeah, but they posted one with Odell, and it's like, oh, B got her own Becky with the good hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, he got the fleeky blonde curls.
The internet
he had
shit.
A nice roller set last night.
It's even more.
His roller set was, he was ready.
It's even more substantial.
He went to the Dominicans?
He went somewhere. I don't know where he went. Yeah. Chanane's bumping curl. That shit was ready last night.
Odell.
Yeah.
Fresh out the beauty parlor.
I mean, it was great. It was a lot of, but he looked really nice. Nas was looking delectable. and crisp.
Yeah, word.
Sorry. That's the woman's perspective.
That's newfound energy on the mic.
Sorry. That's what happens when you're in mixed company.
He had the Akeem Coming to America joint. Like there was a picture. Yeah. They paired him up against Eddie Murphy in the Coming to America get up.
Ain't that what Jay-Z wore for Halloween?
It was very Prince of Zamunda. Yeah. Maybe he let him borrow it. I don't know. It was nice though.
That's the style. Now.
There's a funny pic that I just showed L with Lupita Nyong'o walking into the gala, and Nate Parker, who's the star, about to be the star of the Birth of a Nation. The Nat Turner joint.
Right.
That I don't know why you can't get your tickets for that yet. Because anyway, I'm excited about that.
Pre-sale.
It's the pre-sale. Yeah. I mean, they do it for the superhero movies. This is a superhero movie.
They try to still set that distribution out.
Yeah. No, it's I'm excited about that. But so there's a picture of him, and they do like the four panels. So there's one picture of him looking at her like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep doing the close up of his face, and he's just like, you can just see like, wow, like he's really into it.
Everywhere she goes, somebody get caught out there with that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
And you can't blame him.
Yeah, I heard she had a fatty.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know
this
it
is
either.
News
somebody
to me.
Pointed
I mean,
it out.
She is an African goddess. That's motherland right there. What you thought?
I mean, she's very beautiful, but that's not the first thing that I think. You know, like it's almost like when you first realized that Erykah Badu had a fatty.
But that has like that's like something that has blossomed. That's a beautiful tree because always really there.
The frame was there. The framework was there because I watched one of them old videos after I watched the Dungeon Family documentary. So I went back and then she showed up in the video and it was in due time when
she picks him up in the car.
Yeah, the shape was there, but you know what I'm saying, it hadn't blossomed.
Yeah.
What was the
years later? I think after the baby.
Yeah, after the baby.
Okay, yeah, it always. Yeah. That's like when you see a girl that you was always cute in high school, but she was tiny.
Mm-hmm.
There's this girl that was a cheerleader, and she's a beautiful girl. Mm-hmm. I saw her like years later at the barbershop, and she just like filled out. It's just like you're a woman,
and you was like, ooh,
and I love all of it.
No, that's when you hear this. You're grown.
A guy grown.
You gotta avoid those when you hit you hit by 22. You hit a curve.
Yeah. Well, she was older than me, so she graduated with my cousins who were a couple years. So I was good to be, you know.
Yeah, you was in the right place.
To admire her.
It wasn't creepy.
Hi, Nicole. You know, so she's not going to listen.
Wasn't it an uncle with the extra long hug?
No.
You're getting thick. That's how they laugh, too.
Just like.
Creepy older black man laugh.
Just milk hypering her growth like a. That you guys probably didn't get that. But that's
I did.
Okay, all right.
I watched the draft.
All right. How did you.
The who?
The draft.
Mel Kiper is a guy that...
He has the best hair in sports.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, wow, okay. All right. Better than Odell?
Oh, his hair is on another level.
Oh, no.
Mel is on another
level.
I'm on a new level. Odell?
Yeah.
Well, since you brought up the draft, how did you feel about the Laremy Tunsil situation?
With the weed, the hacking?
Yeah.
I thought it was... They said it was his stepdad, right?
Well, that's what I heard.
That's the speculation.
That's
speculation. But it's somebody with a vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you tell when that was? Was it a time stamp? Was it...
Nah, but you knew it wasn't right in the middle of the draft.
I know. What I'm saying is, like, could it have been something that was really old?
Like, I think it was, like, a couple years ago.
Definitely a couple years old, but, you know, he college, you know.
Did he get... Did he drop?
He dropped. He was going to be top five, and he went down to 13 to Miami.
Like $12 million later, though.
Mm-hmm.
Zam.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. He's going to he gonna
go
have to,
missing.
He's going to have to work a couple of years. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to work that off a couple of years and get a new contract on the back end.
Yeah.
That sounds like something The Rock could handle on Ballers.
That's exactly. We're going to get you.
It does. I just thought that's like.
Just play out your contract.
It's like athlete Olivia Pope.
But that's
The Rock.
Yeah.
But if you're a top prospect, that's the type of shit you got to deal with even before you even get to the pros.
What upsets me, though, is just the way that I'm glad that he outed Ole Miss, mm-hmm. like with regards to him taking
him out.
He didn't mean to do it. He
stood up and accepted all the shit, which kept all of the. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't do nothing else to him. He's like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah. But they let him, like, hang himself for like however long he was in that press conference. Mm-hmm. And then once he said that about Ole Miss, the publicist lady was, okay, he's done. He's done now. Okay, that's it. That's the end of it. And yeah, they brought him off stage, you know. But like, I'm glad because now, but now like the pundits for ESPN, oh, I think he should have kept that hidden. He shouldn't have said that.
But it was some whoever the hack had already put it up. They put it on
Instagram. That's the same hacker person too?
Yeah, somebody, probably. They hit it. They hit the Twitter.
Who has he upset?
They hit the Twitter with the smoke. Wow. And then they hit the Instagram with the text messages.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So he had no choice. It was out. It was already out.
I don't blame him.
He looked like that press conference looked like an interrogation. Like
it did.
Minister Society, you know you done fucked up. Like, he was like, it was very like sweaty.
But he was like yeah, you know. All right.
I just feel so, I don't really care for the NCAA anymore like I used to.
Who does?
Now, it's just like, it's just a heightened state of wokeness where it's like, give these kids some kind of money, take care of these kids. Like they're busting their ass for you, and then if they want to go to Papa John's, you can't get no pizza from Papa John's. You going to bed hungry?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it angers me. So many people are feeding their kids off of college football, college sports, and the people that are actually performing the sports aren't getting the money.
They get it.
I'll get off that soapbox.
I mean, they get it, but not officially.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then when they get caught, then it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
When the plug snitch on Jameis Winston getting his weekly allotment of crabs.
Yes. Yep.
Then it's a problem.
You know, it's just so weird to me that the crab.
So yeah, wait, he had been getting those delicious boars.
Did you watch the
boars head heroes from Publix? No problem.
Crab legs. I mean, did you see the video?
I mean, Publix is a great place to get hooked up.
See, I've never been to Publix. It makes me want to go. I'm not gotta go to Florida.
Florida State is in Tallahassee.
Yeah,
FAMU is in Tallahassee. Shout out to FAMU. I went to FAMU, and Florida State had all of the NFL recruit guys. You know what I'm saying? They got away with murder. They run the Florida State run the town.
Like, yeah,
the town is a college town, and Florida State being the biggest college, it's shit. Oh, they run the town. So I got the hookup in that same Publix.
Mm-hmm.
We went to that same Publix and got a grocery cart full of Moët Chandon White Star for a party, and she rang that shit up for like $30 in that same Publix. I was no Jameis Winston. You know what I'm saying?
Kirkwood, a legend in 2 games.
Let's get it straight. So, to watch the video and watch Jameis walk straight in, get the package, he had that called in.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm going to be through there at 7 o'clock. He called it in, walked straight in, got his package, and walked straight out. Like,
it was crab legs or imitation?
No, it's crab legs.
Oh, he got the real.
No, they
deal.
Be steaming. That was Publix. We talked about it a couple episodes ago. Publix was the first place I knew, first grocery store that I knew. You know, I ain't had no large experience with grocery stores, but they was the first ones that was steaming crab legs.
Oh, wow. Okay. Was it like is it like a regional Florida thing where they steam the crab legs?
Well, Publix is a Florida store.
Oh, it's from Florida?
And it's in Georgia. Yeah, it's from Florida.
Yeah, because they got it in Georgia, too.
They got it in Georgia, but it's from Florida.
I've heard nothing but good things about that place.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but Publix, you know how, when we moved from Liberty City to Carroll City, which at the time was still white, and they had Publix. You know what I'm saying? It was a Publix warehouse out there. So it was like a down-home grocery store, like the real where everybody wore white with aprons, with the paper bags, like those paper bags be like your luggage and shit.
Yeah,
when you go to grandma's house on the weekend, put your clothes in the brown paper bag.
Oh hell yeah!
And you know what I'm saying? Take it to grandma. Those bags became your book. You know what I'm saying? When you wrap your book with it.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Book covers.
They became your book covers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But Publix, you go there, it was just like, you know, they had the guys with the white hats and everything white. It was just like, damn, you ain't never seen no shit like that before. That was a new experience for an urban kid.
Yeah, I like, I'm always interested in grocery stores because my dad worked at a grocery store chain in PG County in like the Maryland, D.C. area, Shoppers Food Warehouse. So every time I go into a grocery store,
about it.
I check it out. You know, this is different from this grocery store and Whole Foods. And that's really boring. But the issue, the thing about the Jameis Winston situation was they made more of an issue about the crabs than the sexual assault allegations.
Well, that was the payback. That was kind of like the OJ effect. Yeah. He beat that case, but we gonna get him on something. This.
Yeah,
the civil case.
You know what I'm saying? So that was that type of effect where that case, the first case, didn't stick, mm-hmm. and so they had him on video here. Like, see, look at this character.
We knew he was bad.
He's stealing those crabs,
right? Or cursing out, like a yelling out in the quad or whatever said, "Fuck her right in the pussy," whatever that meme is.
Yeah, that was.
I didn't even know it was a meme.
That was a big internet thing.
Yeah,
it was stupid for him to do it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? With a looming, you know what I'm saying, case.
Like, you idiot. Just
you know what I'm saying?
Because I'm.
But
go ahead.
You 19 years old. You don't give a fuck.
Right.
You the king of the mountain. You in Tallahassee. You the king of the city. The king of the school. You ain't thinking about all that shit.
Right.
You're not thinking about the national discussion when you in Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Alabama.
And he's from Bessemer.
Bessemer is a hard place to be. I'm from Alabama.
Okay.
I was born in Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah. Bessemer is a tough
place. It's the hardest
place. Yeah. It's like it's a tough place.
It's like one of
those. I know good people from Bessemer.
I know good people from Bessemer. You know good people from everywhere. But that don't mean it's not a hard place to grow up.
Like if they did a documentary on Bessemer, you get one of those hard guitar riffs.
Actually, they do have a little, it's a short documentary on Nowness that they did on a girl in Bessemer, Alabama. And it was a hard knock story.
It's just like one of those, like it just, this is Bessemer, Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, because Bessemer is right outside Birmingham. And mm-hmm. Birmingham, you know, is a hard place, even, and it's a very historical place. But like, you know, Birmingham is on First 48. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think that in Alabama they'd be reoccurring. Recurring stories on First 48.
Where was you at, Johnny? It wasn't me. It was Tony. Tony did it.
He shot it right outside the Piggly Wiggly.
He shot it right in the pussy.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. But back to the draft.
Yeah.
The midriff win, dude, Ezekiel.
Elliott. He got caught on the Snapchat.
He got caught
was
out there.
Was that really him? They said it just looked like
Nah, it was him.
She put it out there. It was him. These hoes ain't playing.
She was like, got him.
Got loyal. Don't trust him.
That's like a recurring thing.
That's
like,
a thing now with thing. Celebrities. Like Justin Bieber got caught up. The Lil Wayne.
Don't get put to sleep. You get put to sleep, it's a problem.
There was some artist that he says he takes their phones.
Drake does a whole thing. There was like
NDA? Drake do an NDA?
It was a breakdown because, you know, one of my favorite things to read is like groupie tales on Baller Alert.
Oh, I know.
It's so amazing. But apparently, like, Drake is like a whole, you got to like do a finger prick.
Wow.
You got to sign something. They take your phone, put it in a Ziploc bag. Mm-hmm. It's a very nice all around experience, but you can only live through it in your memories.
Yeah, that's how the OGs do.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I'm saying? You hear all the OGs talking about the NDAs and all that type shit.
Yeah.
It's just everybody wants to put their life on Instagram or
Snap.
See, I'm old now. Snap. I don't have a Snapchat.
The youngest one in the room talking about, yo.
No, you're the youngest one.
Yeah. I don't think those guys really care. Like, you can tell, like, you know, Wiz Khalifa doesn't care. Future doesn't care. I think Future, like, smiled for one of the photos when the girl was, like, trying to stink. He was like, hey. Like, they don't care.
Rockstar life,
man. This is rockstar life.
No doubt.
I loved his crop top. I love his crop top on the field, and I love it. It was, like, under his shirt, and, like, he, you know, walked around the whole time. He had his jacket buttoned up, and then he opened it. It was like, surprise, ha.
Yeah, you know, it's a joke. It was the red carpet. That was the picture that was going to go around
the
world.
Yeah, but then people got so upset and, like, questioned his sexuality, and it's like, it's a joke.
Somebody put a cry face on his stomach.
The Jordan cry face.
Yeah, the Jordan cry face.
So good. We thought the Jordan cry face had been knocked out of the running by the Birdman, but
Nah, Jordan cry face
is here forever.
Well, there's one now that doesn't need a meme. It's just of him, like, when the Hornets lost, it's just him, like, looking sad. And you don't need any tea. Like, there's no tea. It's just like he's
like sad Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Sad Ben Affleck was great.
Sad Fleck.
So good.
I don't know what he has to be sad for. I guess, you know, people were hating on him, but I don't know, whatever.
Well, I mean, speaking of Drake, Views drop.
Yeah.
Anybody listen to the Views?
I did. I listened to it, and I felt like it's what ninth grade me would have written if I could write music.
Did you ghostwrite?
No, Because he had the Jodeci references, like, mm-hmm. and he had a Cry For You like Jodeci. I'm like, are we in? Is this 1993?
It was definitely 90s. He brought out like Light Skin Keep Sweat. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? He already referenced some stuff as that, so yeah. he brought that out. And you know, with me, Drake kind of gets personal in our family because my sister worked with him from when he first came out. So she,
Degrassi Drake?
Not Degrassi Drake, but just the first mixtape Drake.
Comeback Season?
The one after he met Wayne. So it was after Comeback Season, I suppose.
So Far Gone?
Yeah. Like that.
So Far Gone.
So Far Gone, yeah.
Okay.
So from the time he hooked up with, you know, Wayne, you know, so she, my sister, she's not the biggest, she's a hip-hop person, but she's not mm-hmm. going to be co-signing and passing out mixtapes and shit. So we were there one Christmas, and she was like, hey, I got this mixtape. This kid named Drake. We should listen to it. I'm like, what's going on? This is weird. You acting funny. And, you know, it was dope. That was the one when Successful was on there. I really liked it.
Yeah, that's
like,
a good jam. Yeah. That's, what's the kid? Omarion's on the hook, right?
Trey Songz. Yeah. So she is a Drakeologist.
Okay.
And member of the OVO Owl Movement.
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? Can't say nothing bad about Drake around her. So, you know, it was exciting. Okay, Drake got a new album. And I was ready for All Summer 16. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That was going to be, you know, this album was supposed to be the theme for the summer.
Okay.
That shit was about 4 rap songs light. It went way too R&B for me.
He's definitely in that lane. I mean, some people were saying, I saw people comparing it to... Because the Internet, the Childish Gambino album that came out a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
I thought Views was fine. Like, I know he's not making this music for me, mm-hmm. but I liked it. It's like right. it's like I don't know how much.
Who
I'm gonna
is he making
to.
It for?
The people that in that age bracket that he's in, like the younger
you
people.
You're in that age bracket? What are you talking about?
How old is Drake? Is he almost 30?
Got to be.
I think he's like 29, 30. Well,
Chris will find it.
Yeah, he's got to be in his. I'm pushing 30.
He's 29.
29.
So
I'm 36.
Okay,
I don't think he. But I'm not saying like oh I'm above what he's doing. It's right. not. It's not.
You're just not in the club.
I'm not in the club. Like
you're not out there chasing girls.
No.
Messing with strippers.
No. No.
I'm, bouncing pennies off of booties.
No.
Not okay. pennies.
Not doing. Half dollars.
can't bounce a dollar off a penny. Like, you know, you gotta
get kicked out.
But I think it's good. Like it's to me, it's fun. Like because it's in it. He's like Drake is in the conversation. You want to know what people are saying.
He is the conversation.
He's the conversation. He's the guy. And so when a release like that comes out, I want to listen to it. I get excited. Let's see. It's like when a big blockbuster movie comes out. Like, I felt the same way about it when I saw that Jurassic Park movie.
Right.
I was like, okay, let's see what's going on.
Let's just see it for, like, cultural reference. Let me listen.
Yeah,
no, definitely. You got to, the same reason I watched Lemonade, I had to listen to the Drake.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? It just wasn't the mode. I thought it was going to be, you know what I'm saying, hype. For the summer, like you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
When he came out All Summer 16. And mm-hmm. it's probably gonna bump All Summer 16, but like at the girls' house.
In a Honda Accord.
Honda Civics. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna bump at the strip club.
Lemon scented.
In the back. I'm gonna play it in the background, like until it get to Grammys with him and Future. Then I turn that up and then I turn that back down.
Can I admit something to you guys?
What's up?
That was the first time I actually heard Future on a song.
Wow. They just won a Grammy.
And I'll say that he's good. I like him.
Oh, you're kind of... You're a lot late.
Same for that kid, Party Next Door.
Because mm-hmm.
the first time I heard of him was the Kalani situation. I didn't know anything about him.
Right.
And then I hear him on the... It's about us right now, girl. Where are you going? Oh, that's pretty good. I'm with you. And he has like the little, you know, the little whatever vocoder.
So this is your, so Grammys is your first reference to Future?
Yeah, I would say so. Like Jumpman, because I didn't hear the tape that they did together.
Okay.
It wasn't just out of protest. I just didn't hear it.
Right.
And I just knew Future via Russell Wilson and Ciara.
Right.
Because I'm a black quarterback supporter, so I kind of I'm in the mix of what
about a dancing ass girl from Atlanta supporter.
Oh, she's hot.
That's me.
I knew who Sierra. You know who Sierra. She's been around for almost 10 years.
With them goodies.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
She's great?
She's great.
Oh, I thought you said she's great.
Scrape, great.
Yeah, that's what we would have said.
Same thing.
She's scrape.
Yeah. Yeah,
same thing.
She good.
You know, I didn't. I think I listened to the whole thing, Views. It sounds very like, you know, Quiet Storm vibes.
Yeah, definitely Quiet Storm.
Did you see the one meme when they said all Drake's albums, like the titles are like basically letting you know he's like suicidal and like finally he's on the ledge, actually. The album art is like him sitting on the ledge.
Yeah, I guess so, huh? Yeah. That other one when he was in that dark ass room with the candle.
Take Care.
Take Care. Oh my God. Like, wait, come on, Drake. Come on outside.
I didn't know. Because I'm not like, I'm not really familiar with his, like, so I know What a Time to Be Alive, mm-hmm. but I'm not a big fan of like singing rappers. So I don't really know all his songs. I didn't realize they were so, so emotional. Like,
oh, yeah.
You, like, drunk dial, like drunk text, mm-hmm. drunk dial.
Yeah, he's definitely the emotional rapper.
How do you guys feel about the writing stuff coming back? Like that he's not right, like the
The ghostwriter?
Yeah, the ghostwriting stuff.
I mean,
does that even matter?
No, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think it does.
Right now at this point it's just give me the records, man.
I'm right.
Don't
about care. That.
Nobody ain't even read, ain't no liner notes right now.
Cause I saw something about that Party Next Door, mm-hmm. my new discovery. That this kid just, like, he sung, one of my favorite Drake records of recent years was Legend.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, like, the rough demo of it. Somebody posted, I guess it's on SoundCloud now.
Right.
I was like, it doesn't sound as good as Drake's.
No doubt. But see, the thing is when you outputting that amount of music, they just dropped
a
full length ass mixtape, which was essentially better than most people's album.
Yeah.
That was what? 3-4 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and then he dropped his album. So it's like when you outputting and trying to stay on top, you got a team that's fucking coming with the beats that might already have a hook on it, that might already have a cadence for you, and you're like, okay, that's how, let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's the same with anybody. Like, right. you know, if Drake is the head chef, you know, he just taught, they know what he want to do.
Right.
The sous or the chef de cuisine and the line cooks all set it up. Like, that's the same with anything.
If you're that metaphor.
If you're a famous photographer, all you do is somebody hands you the camera and you snap it. Mm-hmm. You don't set it up. You don't do the shutter speed and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Even if you're an artist, which I found to be a little crazy, like an artist studio, they might sit down and draw out what they want the art to be,
mm-hmm.
but they're not necessarily putting brush to canvas always.
Right.
Somebody else is executing this. As long as you know, you're really kind of the vessel.
Yeah, and the visionary. Mm-hmm. That's the Andy Warhol theory. Andy Warhol had a whole team. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Kehinde Wiley has a whole team.
I would be disappointed if somebody like maybe like Kendrick didn't write his stuff or like more so like a guy like Elzai or something.
They're not saying that he didn't write his stuff.
Yeah.
It's just
people helped him.
Kendrick might have got a beat that already had a hook on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So Dre might have had a beat that already was made, and he just came and tweaked it. You know what I'm saying? KRS-One, I saw a video yesterday of KRS-One talking about this very same thing.
Ugh.
And they said, you know, the guy, I think it was Nori on the Nori podcast, asked him, you know, what he thought about Drake having writers. And, you know, even KRS-One was like, shit, man, it don't matter. If he could drop it, you know, it's an execution of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's what matters. Like, back in the days, you know what I'm saying? He's like, hip-hop has secrets. He was like, you know, there's a lot of guys didn't write their stuff, but, you know what I'm saying, they executed it, you know? Now, if you, you know, as far as being, you know, considered a lyricist,
yeah.
then, yeah. But, you know, other than that, you know what I'm saying? He was like, if Rakim came to me and he had a dope verse, I would rap it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
Rakim wrote Summertime, right?
Probably. That's what they say.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, you got to think of it. You in the studio, it's 100 motherfuckers in there. You didn't smoke and drank 1,000 bottles of champagne. Mm-hmm. And it's like you trying to write. And if people are just throwing out, it's like a brainstorm.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Table read.
It's like, I want to write this, but I need this. And your boy.
Like, oh, shit. I got something
out and it works. But before, instead of somebody getting a check, they got some good weed, or
yeah,
they got
some good weeds,
the
yeah.
best groupies.
Girls, you know what I'm saying?
But now people get,
now you get
liner, they residuals. Get credits. They get yeah. credits and residuals.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, I don't see a problem with it either. It just seemed to come up right after this album dropped.
Everybody again. Always wanna throw the shade out there. But if you take just think of this, man. This if you hot, right? Mm-hmm. That means you in demand everywhere in every city, and everybody wants you at one time. Mm-hmm. You doing shows, you know what I'm saying? You executing deals, you trying to get, you know what I'm saying? You trying to get your promo together. You got a team, you got artists that signed to you. You selling shirts, you got a deal with Jordan. You know what I'm saying? You got Sprite commercials and shit. You know what I'm saying? You got interviews to do. You know what I'm saying? You got shows and all that shit. Then you go to the studio. Shit, you know what I'm saying? It just makes sense to be organized and have some stuff already ready. Now, he might reject some of it, he might take some of it, but what does it matter? The whole Motown was everybody writing and everybody singing.
But mm-hmm. everybody wasn't supposed to be a lyricist. And I mm-hmm. think it depends on how you measure people. Like, you know, if you looked up to Drake and thought, oh my God, he's the greatest lyricist, like you said, you would be upset if you found out Kendrick wasn't really writing. That's because you look to Kendrick not necessarily for his image or the vibe, like more for his words.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that Drake is a whole package. It's the feeling. So it's more about the song really than the actual words. So people care less because it's like, no, just give us this sad or this melancholy tune.
Because I think as a comedian, like I feel like, man, I write my own shit, dog. Like, right. And I know sometimes when you get to that level,
right.
you might have a team like some people do. I ain't gonna name no names.
Shit, Chris Rock, got Richard Pryor.
Yeah, Pryor, you know the greatest of all time, had so, Paul Mooney.
Right, he had a couple people, but you know, it is what it is. And I, you know, as far as like Drake music is way so personal that I can't believe that somebody
writes all his.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of his shit is so personal and so damn specific. You know what I'm saying? Like the little jump off records for the club and all that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Somebody like Duke had the cadence and, you know what I'm saying, probably 2/3 of the rhyme.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? He say so much direct stuff and so many subliminal jabs.
Lisa, you did this to me.
Exactly.
Why did you do that?
Serena, you chose the wrong side.
Exactly.
Now you're bouncing your booty on the other side and I don't like it.
40 Love, Drake.
Oh my God. When I saw you in Lemonade.
Yeah. When I saw you in Lemonade. My sister, the Drakeologist. It's one of the Drake songs where he say something about bounce your booty. She was like, if you play that on top of the Lemonade part where Serena is bouncing her booty with Beyonce, it totally fits.
And Jesus. Then,
and Serena always on the beat, like Beyonce always on the beat.
And you could tell that Drake was talking about Serena. I was like, you way too smart.
Wow.
She's going to be teaching a class one day.
You know what I'm saying? Well, she already does, but.
Oh, wow.
Okay. A great business needs a stunning website, and with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it, so what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free. So, do it, do it, do it, do it.
Hello, podcast listener. This is Jared Freed from the J Train Podcast. Every Tuesday and Friday, we take emails from college students and postgrads about everything from relationships to nonsense. No question is too small. We answer it in a funny and frank and honest way. Find new and archived episodes of the J Train Podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and tune in. Check us out.
So, yeah, so, you know, again, with me, I thought it was going to be the summer bangers.
Just you know disappointed you.
Not disappointed. Not disappointed. Just rerouted me. Now it's like, you know what I'm saying, my summer layback, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying, drinking Prosecco in the backyard.
What are you listening to now?
I was waiting on the Drake. I was waiting on the Views. All summer 16. I was ready.
I still can't stop playing Hiatus Coyote. Do you ever heard of them?
Mm-mm.
They're a Australian, like a soul, neo-soul like band. Hannibal Buress used them to do his to intro music to his TV show last year, but I found out about them maybe like around this time last year, and just can't stop playing them. I saw him in Brooklyn Bowl. Saw him at Brooklyn Bowl a couple months ago, late last year, and they're phenomenal.
What was the name again?
Hiatus Coyote.
No doubt,
they're dope.
What are your essential like summer jams? Like, what do you like when it gets hot outside and you ready? Like, what are your summertime?
Well, I'm a proponent of, you know what I'm saying, who runs the summer, because that's the wave I want to be on. I'm always want to be on the wave of, you know what I'm saying, that energy of that particular year.
Mm-hmm.
So it changes every year. You know, I got my standards. I got my funk standards. I got my, you know what I'm saying, some turn-up standards. But I always want to see what the wave is for that year, you know what I'm saying? Because for very long time, you know what I'm saying, I was in the streets, you know what I'm saying, in the club, you know what I'm saying? So I feed on that energy, you know what I'm saying? I'm the type of kid since, you know what I'm saying, 13, 14 years old, I'm out every weekend, most nights, but every weekend to the ungodly hours in the morning. And whatever else is what's popping next, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in Miami, so, you know, you leave the club, and then you go to Jumbo's with the restaurant, you know what I'm saying? Depending on who you with and what you're going to do after, you take it from there. But, you know, I'm the type of person that's going to be on the scene. So now as a father and a husband, you know what I'm saying, you just can't be on the scene. You can't be on every scene like
right,
that.
Right.
So when it comes 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm usually working. You know what I'm saying? Or at least, you know what I'm saying, you could see the wave happening on, you know, on the social media or whatever. But, you know what I'm saying, I still feed off of that energy and put that into my work and put that into, because you could tell what's happening or what's going to happen next by what's really popping that summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I haven't heard the summer wave yet. You know what I'm saying? I thought, you know, Drake, again, you know, he led up to it. You know what I'm saying?
I think he's disappointed you. Ali.
Kanye.
I mean, you're on it.
This is Kanye don't have a bigger pool than me. You know what I'm saying? Summer 16. I had me a little flyer already ready.
Yeah.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
There's nothing that you can like, okay.
Now I got to find a new wave.
Drake has let you down, but there's nothing like, to me, I moved to New York like almost 12 years ago, actually. And this, my first summer in New York, I lived in Queens.
Mm.
And that summer was the summer of Welcome to Jam Rock.
Mm.
And like little out in the streets, they call it murder, was blasting from the like Memorial Day till Labor Day.
No doubt.
That took over one whole summer in New York.
That was a summer wave, that Welcome to Jam Rock.
I mean, and I was, oh my God, I'm in New York City. I, like, threw my hat up like Mary Tyler Moore.
Or Black Felicity.
My first summer was that Rough Riders first album. You know what I'm saying? It was the whole Rough Riders move.
Mine was, I came here in fall of 07, so it was like graduation, Kanye graduation.
Oh, that was a good time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very good time.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Damn, Ali, I'm sad.
So, no, I gotta figure out what the wave going to be this summer, you know what I'm saying?
But what about, do you
need
guys...
need a theme song.
Do you all ever go back and listen to some, just an artist that you like, and a song hits you in a different way that you never thought it would?
I'm a funk, I'm on the funk, like, you know, I'm an old school cat, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Again, I'm very influenced by Miami music, I'm very influenced by, you know what I'm saying? I spent my summers in Cleveland growing up, so they had the funk very seriously. Like, they the home of, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the Zap and all them funk groups. So, you know, I'm very influenced by that. So, I don't care. It could be any given day. Like, if you watch me on Snap, I always have, like, this thing called Funk Lesson.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? When I'm riding to go pick up my son from school. That's what I choose the jam to that in commute. But,
do I need
so that's my go-to.
Jam? Should
you
I get,
absolutely should.
I need to get on that wave?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
We snapping, player?
I just feel like my shit would be just boring.
Well, it don't matter.
Okay.
Snapchat, not to sound like a... I love Snapchat. I think I approach it... It's like the only social media that challenges me.
Because
I'm a storyteller.
Okay.
I like to tell stories. And I kind of look at life as like a sitcom or like a movie.
Sure.
And I think Snapchat allows you to really... You know, have your own production and do what you want to do.
Your own Truman Show.
Your own show. Yeah. And a lot of it, you know, it's not really, I don't really do the front-facing camera a lot. I'm not in a lot of my snaps.
Okay.
Because I like to really show people what I'm seeing.
I feel like I would be like that,
too. She's the owner and creator of the Interlude. So if you ever seen me do the Interlude, that's Al Clay inspired.
Because okay. I'm obsessed with the Interludes. Like, that's what, you know, people had albums in the 90s. It was always, you know, a couple of tracks just devoted to just some kind of sound or voice. Mm-hmm.
80s, too. 80s, too, had
well,
that.
Well, I'm a 90s child.
No doubt.
So
I'm just saying. I'm not contradicting you. I'm just adding to it. I want to join in to the Interlude.
Yeah, Ali is an early adopter of the religion of Interlude.
No doubt.
But I think Snapchat is just fun, you know. Okay. It's a lot of fun. You can also get in trouble.
How? How would you get in
trouble? I mean, I don't know if you're in a relationship, but people send, you know, some freaky things.
Not only if you into that kind of thing. I never got no freaky shit.
I'm not into it, and sometimes you know,
but you know what I'm saying?
DM. You never know.
But you kind of out there in the streets.
You make me sound so mixy. So
when you stop hanging in the streets and shit, you don't get that kind of energy no more.
I'm kind of puritanical when it comes
like,
to...
Like my dad, when I was growing up, you come home, anybody call me, he's like, nah, you done played out, player. Oh,
damn.
You done played out.
When the call stopped. When the DM stopped.
When the DM
stopped. I have played out.
Oh, but see, I was out the game before the DMs existed.
Well, the DM stopped.
I've been out of the game since the 90s, so... All of this shit, I missed all of this.
That's gonna be like my DM memoir.
Action.
My memoir. When
that's
the DM stop.
When the DM stop.
El Clay, when the DM
stop. You done played out.
You done played out. Oh my God. That's so great. No, I have a relationship with like, when I was really young, like in the early 90s, Sade was really, really popping.
Oh, that's your girl.
And I hated the whole movement. I could not stand Sade's music because it was just like, I don't know, it was so sad to me.
No Kiss of Life for you?
Oh God, no. That's my, even now, I'm obsessed with Sade now, but it only happened like maybe like 8 years ago where I became obsessed. Like I found her all over again and I fell in love and I have a Sade running club.
Oh.
I do. It's just me and my friend Rafael Rios and we listen to Sade, and we go on No Ordinary Run. And we've run the Brooklyn Half Marathon. This is Sade Running Club. But now I really love her. I saw her in concert a couple years ago when she was at the Prudential Center.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Don't you feel like it's because you're older and maybe you were too, like, young and immature to understand?
It probably was that. But I think her music, when I was younger, it sounded really sad to me. Mm. And I know now that it's a lot about love and anguish and,
you've experienced some of the things
Yeah, you experienced some of those things, so you can appreciate it now.
That's how I feel about, like, a lot of music. You know, like, we were talking about Prince before we started.
Ugh, rest in peace, Purple.
And how, like... I always respected the guy and I thought he was great, but I wasn't the hugest fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I saw him in concert in Landover, Maryland.
Maryland.
In PG County, young. And and I remember like, I was like, okay, this guy's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was cool because he just kept saying DC. He was mm-hmm. like, DC. And he was like jamming. I was like, oh, he's talking about where we're from.
He's talking about me.
Yeah, I was born there. And, you know, but he had this huge influence on everybody that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And you could always tell when an artist is doing their version of Prince or mm-hmm. they're doing, so you could always tell, but it was just something like I guess we were talking about Tevin Campbell before when he did the I'm Ready album.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like, and he had, Prince did like three records on there and you could definitely tell his influence. Mm-hmm. And that was around the time where, I started to be interested in women and mm-hmm. girls. And like, oh, that it was more palpable. And I guess like with hip hop, I feel the same way. Like listening to a song when I was 19, going back to listen to that same record in my 30s when I've experienced stuff, I'm mm-hmm. just like, sometimes that shit make you cry.
Yeah.
Make you tear up a little bit.
Or sometimes it makes you so disturbed. I was listening to Uchi Wally Wally.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
The famous Uchi Wally Wally.
Uchi Wally Wally is the most disturbing record.
Shout out to...
ever.
Shout out to Lashana Stanley and Ethnicity Models who provided the girls for that video. That's actually how her company blew up from that song.
Was it like the Taz's Angels of...
No. Actually, she was very much more organized. Taz Angels are kind of like, you know what I'm saying, really, you know what I'm saying?
A harem?
Yeah, kind of like hoes that go to the club. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're not ethnicity.
No, euphemisms for Ali.
Ethnicity was really, she really was trying to make models out of these girls. And she, uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? She got, you know what I'm saying, a couple of them kind of blew, like Lyris said, you know what I'm saying?
Lyris does acting, real acting.
Exactly. Now. And she, and Lashana cast acting stuff.
I don't
stuff
know
now.
Any other name.
She cast the Rihanna little short movie.
Wait a minute. You guys are saying that those women have names?
What are you talking about? Telling you is I got a homie named Lashana Stanley who owns a company called Ethnicity Models. And she was one of the first in the game to start to manage girls, to put them in videos. She didn't like to do a lot of those crazy videos.
Sure.
So when Uchiwali blew up, which really kind of blew a company up, she kind of, every time we talk about it, she holds her head like, oh, my God.
Was that 99? 2000?
Like 2000.
That was Nas I Am.
That was like 2000.
Is it Street Disciple? No, that was a whole separate album.
I don't know.
That was the Braveheart album.
That was Braveheart.
That was the Braveheart album. Compilation.
Yeah,
Nas.
But,
oh shit! Okay.
But her girls became famous out of that video.
Wow.
Was Gloria Velez one of her girls?
Nah, I think Gloria Velez was. I don't know. I don't know.
Gloria Velez was one of my favorites.
Names.
Gloria Velez and Melissa Ford.
Oh yeah, Melissa Ford
was after.
Melissa Ford is from Ethnicity.
Yeah.
Also but, from the six, right, guys?
She's from the six, right? Yeah, definitely. Which is not a nine.
Why is it nine? Because he
turned
the city,
upside down.
Okay.
What?
That's confusing, Drake.
Nah, you got to keep up.
I got it, but it's like, can we still call it the six?
Mm-hmm.
Are the Raptors still playing basketball?
No.
Yeah, they won the series.
Yes,
they did.
Sorry.
They won the series. What are you talking about?
Because Paul George had a
they
little
got a,
tier.
They got a lucky charm.
It's not going to matter in a
It doesn't
weeks.
Matter. They got another run. Drake going to stay on the sidelines. I'm going to fool.
I think they should put Drake in NBA 2K. Like he's like the Jack Nicholson of... I'm sure like there's a creative player there. Like he's a player, but they should... To have more, even more ambiance, he should be there. Like
but
in the arena.
You know what? I'll say this. I love that he gets to basically do what he wants to do with the Raptors. Like, you see, a year ago, they let 2 Chainz.
Right.
He had a Hawks t-shirt with 2 Chainz on, and he performed at halftime. Mm-hmm. I've been at a Hawks game where T.I. performed at halftime. But no other non-athlete in any other city has that much power on for their home team.
Because Drake is the ambassador to the world for Toronto.
Well, I think that's amazing. Like, he designed the uniforms. They have an OVO alternative uniform. You remember when Sean John did the Dallas Mavericks?
Oh, he did? I didn't even remember that.
That was the green joints. Like, nobody, Spike Lee, every game for years, what has he done other than, like, just stand there?
Other than look like a black Diane Keaton.
I mean, he got his own Jordans, you know, but... I just think that the fact
black
that,
who?
Black Diane Keaton.
Damn.
See what he, I have a Spike Lee story in mind.
Oh, Ali does too.
We're going to get to you.
Ali does too. You think Drake is a problem?
Hold that thought.
Okay. You think Drake is a problem? Let Ali expand.
No, Drake is not a problem.
The view. Do you think views is a problem?
Views is not a problem. It just shifted what I thought it was going to be. Like I said, now it's my backyard. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Drinking tea moment.
He really disappointed you, man.
I thought it was going to be my, you know what I'm saying?
Open letter. Petition.
I thought it was going to be my, you know
Views
what I'm saying?
Deluxe needs to have.
You said like 4 rap songs short.
Yeah, but Drake albums are typically 2 rap songs short of being a classic rap album for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? His first album was like too short. He just always has, you know what I'm saying? He leans more to the R&B side. Dude.
Yeah.
Than my taste preference.
Sure.
But my sister, the Drakeologist, assures me that he'll drop another mixtape that, you know what I'm saying, will get us through the summer.
All right.
Yeah, but I love what they allow him to do.
That's pretty cool.
With the rap. That's like the cool, it's like a dream. Like for me, you know, people know me as Air Auntie.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I take flight in the city.
And you're going to have your own shoe.
I got my own shoe. If Kevin Hart can have his own, I'm taking my own
shoe. The best thing about Drake is, he saw it, he came out, he did it, and then he organized it in a way to allow himself to be free enough to explore and do things that he wants to do. You know what I'm saying? A lot of artists don't carve that out for themselves. and he was able to do it, and you could see them doing it and having fun with it.
It's kind of hard to not like the guy.
Yeah. No. I think he's just really smart. You know how, like, Jay's a smart, like, he's not a businessman. He's a businessman. Like, I think all his businesses, I think all Drake's businesses are very streamlined, very well thought out.
Right.
And I think that only plays into, like, you see him, like, interfering with a play.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Somebody's going to smack
the
shit out of
him. He's going to
like,
get.
Somebody's, like, trying to take the ball out, and he's interfering with the play. Oh my God! What game are we in? The Cavaliers had game one.
Cavs won last night. They beat the Hawks.
I'm from Atlanta, and I don't know who plays on the Hawks. Horford.
Ken Bazemore.
Al Horford.
Schaefer.
Don't ask me. I haven't started watching this.
George Teague.
What do you like watch like during like, the finals?
I'm about to come in right now. It's right about my time.
It's starting to get hot.
It's my time to come in and catch it when it matters. You know what I'm saying? You get, you know, good playoff energy.
Mm-hmm.
All of that regular season, that's not enough energy for me.
What do you think about the dancing routines before the games start?
I never catch them.
Who it's fun. Like, who are you talking about? Russell Wilson?
Yeah. Russell Wilson? I thought he was
Russell Westbrook.
Player.
Russell Westbrook.
Too many
wrong. I only saw it when somebody tried to interrupt it.
Charlie Villanueva.
Yeah. pushed him out of the way.
So now that's a thing, a dancing routine?
I really think this guy is on the team to help Russell Westbrook dance.
Yeah, I don't even know that kid's
he
name.
He doesn't really, he just like, if you see him even during the game, he's like dancing. League minimum to dance.
Hey.
I love it.
Hey, man. Get in where you fit in.
I ain't mad.
Oh.
But they have some great routines.
I've only seen that one.
Oh, no. You need to watch more because they get it.
Russell Westbrook got some bad outfits, though.
Bad isn't good. Like, bad, like, bad. Or, like...
You know what the fuck I mean.
Like, Ella Kute, bad.
Terrible.
But he is... I mean, you know what? His commitment to it is admirable. He has a collaboration with Barney's.
And he doesn't care what you think.
Obviously.
He doesn't care what you think.
He don't give a fuck what I think.
No.
He doesn't care. Oh, and he told, did you see when he got, I think he got in trouble for some guy was heckling him and he said, just shut the fuck up.
I love that.
Just sit over there with your wife and shut the fuck up.
I love that.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Oh, I thought it was great.
He got fined.
I mean, he'll eat that.
Yeah.
LeBron told his own mama to sit your ass down.
His mom came on the floor to like fight.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
Mom, sit your ass.
You remember when Doug Christie's wife ran in the tunnel to fight Shaq?
What? Oh my God.
You remember when Jackie Christie like ran with her purse to help fight with Doug? Now, that's a ride or die. Oh my goodness. LeBron told his mama, sit your ass down.
When was that?
That was when he was in Cleveland.
For the first time.
Really?
And
wow.
It was a fight going on with Celtics.
Uh-huh.
And his mama ran down there. He's like, mama, sit your ass down.
You know, she was ready. Speaking of mamas.
Oh, shit. Dear mama.
Rest in peace, Sister Afeni.
Shakur.
Young.
Got a little silence.
69.
They said she had a... What's happened to her?
We don't know. That shit was
a cardiac arrest.
It's real sketchy. It's real sketchy right now.
I think they said she had cardiac arrest.
There's too many people dying.
Is every black death sketchy?
Yes. Every black death with a catalog attached to it.
Oh shit.
They said Lil Richard is hanging on.
They waiting on him. You know what I'm saying? Rihanna better watch her back. She just got her masters.
Oh shit!
Don't put that on the bad.
I'm just saying.
Don't you put that kind of evil on her.
I ain't gonna put no evil on Rihanna. I thought it was a genius move. You know what I'm saying? But you know, these masters, you know, Prince, you know what I'm saying, suspiciously dies.
Damn.
And they all in the vault. They can't wait to get in the vault. Why they in a rush to get into the vault?
I don't know.
He ain't got no will neither. They say.
That's what they say.
Then they say he got a kid.
Oh, Prince,
they say.
No, they ready to get that. They just got that Michael Jackson catalog back, too. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Conspiracy brother.
But you know what I'm saying? Afeni, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? She out there. She fought the good fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? She held it down. Managed the Pac legacy. You know what I'm saying? Build them a, you know what I'm saying, a resource center.
I lived in Stone Mountain, and it was like down the street from the Chick-fil-A. The Tupac Center.
The Tupac Center.
Tupac Center.
Yeah.
In Stone Mountain, Georgia.
You know what I'm saying? So who going to run this Tupac Center?
He got a sister.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? They got to hold it down. Last year, when I shot the Circle of Mothers, I think it was 2014, actually, shot the Circle of Mothers. Everybody who on the conversation, they know about the Circle of Mothers. She was the speaker, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So she came out there and gave him real talk. And and my own personal belief is that she inspired the Lemonade title. But that's just my own thoughts.
Is that, what was that at the end when with that elderly black woman? Was that, did that have something to do
that's
with Circle
Jay's
of Mothers?
That was Jay-Z's grandmother.
That was a birthday party.
Just a birthday party.
I say it is because, you know, Beyonce had the Circle of Mothers, like some other Circle of Mothers in the video.
Okay.
So Trayvon Martin's mama. Circle of Mothers is Trayvon Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton's event. Mm-hmm. And she bring all the mothers from all of the mothers who had slain sons. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So they were in the Lemonade video. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And but the first year they had Circle of Mothers, like I said, Afeni Shakur spoke. And In her keynote address, which I used in the Circle of Mothers video, she says, you know, September 13th, 1996, my son's life ended. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, the devil couldn't take his spirit from continuing to inspire people. And that's what, you know, we want to happen for all of your sons. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then she was like, you know, look at, you know, she's like, sometimes life gives you lemons. And, you know, if you look at, you know, Trayvon Martin and his death, that was one of the biggest lemons we could have got. Mm-hmm. And if you look at what his mother's doing and bringing all of y'all together, you know what I'm saying? This lady's just trying to make lemonade. You know what I'm saying? And so she goes on to talk about the lemonade stuff. And, you know, when they were putting together, they were preparing to be in that lemonade video, the people, Sabrina Fulton and them, they were asking me for the video and, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. So during the time when they were putting together this particular project, you know, I saw a spike in views in this video, which one, you know, one getting no views. So now everybody, you know, so obviously they sending it to people to watch.
Sure.
So I just feel like, you know what I'm saying, they might have watched it and saw what Afeni said because it was very touching. It was because if you look at the video, it's right after, you know, they do this very emotional part and Trayvon Martin's mother's just crying and crying and crying. And then they had a gala, and then right after that, you know, Afeni Shakur gets on and starts talking about Lemonade. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like it might have been some inspiration there. I'm not saying it is, it's true, but, you know, it's very
valid. I, you know? After that, I don't see why.
And that's just me. I'm not putting it out there on nobody else, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know,
yeah,
it's just my speculation of the speculation report in the conversation.
I would just watch it on Sunday, and the Beyonce Lemonade, it's powerful. You know, a lot of
it people, is.
It was just aesthetically, just the black women, and I'm not pandering to you, Elle, but just like the beautiful.
Because Elle is a black woman, if you guys didn't know.
Sister!
With your black ass.
Yeah. It was just jarring in a good way. It just made me feel good, like this visceral.
You got a lady?
No.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
working on it.
Yeah, that made you feel good because anybody with a lady, that shit put them under pressure. I'm married. I'm in good standing with my wife. I got good credit at the house. My wife was looking at me like,
never. Uh-huh.
What was that little message you sent on the Facebook?
couldn't that go either way for you?
What?
Like her being mad at you for liking the women or just mad at you, even though you have good credit in the house, like maybe you did something.
You might, I ain't caught you yet.
Yeah.
Nah, it was that's just the type of energy that came with the Lemonade video.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a lot of pressure attached to it.
Like step your game up.
Like, and motherfucker, and you ain't Jay-Z, so.
Right.
You can't have no Becky with no good hair. I ain't coming back. Fuck it. Hell no, my wife don't play.
His wife don't play. She is a real one. Shouts out to your wife. I love her.
No doubt. Hey, baby. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy. Okay, so Dear Mama is number one mama hip hop song.
It's got to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's top one.
I mean, saying your mama is a crackhead and a black queen in the same
sentence
is a lot.
In the same rhyme.
I wonder how she felt about that.
Crack fiend, black queen.
That is. Ooh.
But, I mean, she
knew.
She had to be proud. She knows she was smoking the drugs. And she probably, you know what I'm saying, atoned for that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people fell victim to the drugs in the 80s and all that stuff. So, When you're a drug addict, you know it. You know what I'm saying? You know you disappointing everybody, but it's, you know, sometimes you can't pull yourself together. And for her to be able to pull herself together, you know what I'm saying? That's a blessing in itself.
I think
to pull yourself together and then still be able to continue.
That's very true.
A lot of people don't make it.
Did you know Jasmine Guy wrote her?
I just saw that today.
Yeah, what is it called? The autobiography. She was alive. Biography. Jasmine Guy wrote that.
Damn, Jasmine Guy?
All right, Jasmine.
Deep. So Jasmine Guy wrote Tupac's mama biography.
Because Jasmine Guy met Tupac when he came on, I think, Different World through Jada Pinkett.
That's why I was about to make the connection.
So,
like,
yeah, and then she kind of, like, she went to visit him. They have photos of her visiting him when he was in New York.
Visiting him how?
In prison.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, she was, they became friends.
What kind of friends?
Yeah, but they were close, and she was saying that.
What Jada felt about that?
You know, I think that was like her like twin flame soulmate best friend thing. It was kind of like
what you called it?
Twin homie lover friend.
I said twin flame soulmate. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think she talks about it. You know, she's like, they loved each other, but it was a different kind of love. It wasn't just romantic love.
Right, right, right.
You know, and you see in his, like, they have his poems he wrote about Jada when he was growing up, you know, and that's how he ended up on that episode of A Different World is Piccolo.
Didn't they have that? Didn't they do a King's Dominion video together?
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
You remember when you go to those theme parks and you could do video together?
Yeah. Oh, they went in junior high with like the backdrop?
Yeah, something like that.
It was at their art school in Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they have one of those.
What you call them? Twin what?
Twin flame.
Twin flame. That's a good one. I'm going to have to
look it up.
Put that into some
Shouts
type of
out
script.
To my boo. She said we was twin flames.
You my twin flame.
Girl.
Twin flame. Woof. But you had other words to that twin flame, what, homie, lover, friend?
I just said that was an R. Kelly song from 12 Play.
You finna write your wife a poem based on these words off of
Mother's
Day?
No, I'm going to write a script. My wife, not my twin flame.
Wait, do husbands give wives Mother's Day gifts, or they just like pay for the gifts from the children?
You better give a goddamn Mother's Day gift.
But no, do you just like pay for like
you do all
the
of
pancake
the,
mix
you do all of
that
the
your children make
above.
The raggedy pancakes with?
All of the above, or prepare for the doghouse.
So, whatever it takes.
Yeah, you got to, yeah.
Do you have like things planned?
The only problem with Mother's Day is that both of my sons are born on May 10th. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Which last year fell.
But you have two children that have the same birthday?
Yes, four years apart.
How does that work?
What the fuck you mean?
No, I know.
You do the grown folk.
I know, I'm talking about.
9 months later.
Where do babies come
baby
from?
Baby come out.
No, I'm talking about.
How do y'all celebrate?
Yeah, how do the celebration, do one get jealous of the other?
Do they hate each other? It sounds like a Game of Thrones situation. It's my birthday. No, it's mine.
Yeah.
It's like a.
Yeah, we don't get too much of that. They just want what they want. And they, you know what I'm saying?
And it's all good.
Because, you know, traditionally, historically, I'm not a big celebrator of things. You know what I'm saying? I didn't grow up with a... You know,
Jehovah's Witness?
I might as well have been. I grew up as a Muslim, so you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, when you're Muslim, your parents got different excuses for you.
Yes, that's what I...
We'll celebrate Christmas, we'll celebrate... Da, da, da. But then when Eid comes, you know what I'm saying? It's hush.
You don't eat, you're not eating it. Eid is a celebration, right?
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? It's just like my parents weren't big celebrators. So, you know what I'm saying? When birthday comes around, you know what I'm saying? Happy birthday. I'm going to have your present next week on payday. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't
ride with that.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? It wasn't never like a big celebration thing. I ain't never have like a big birthday party except for maybe one when I was too far. I don't even remember because of a picture. So that wasn't in me to be a big celebrity. Me and Damon, we talk about celebrating. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So now, in later years, we are now trying to celebrate life. More.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? The tradition is always they want what they want. They just, sure. they ask, okay, this is what I want. And you get it. And then they're happy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But my son is turning 16, and his cousin had a big birthday blow us out. You know what I'm saying? Down in Miami. On a yacht, real Damn. Super Damn. 16,
real type ballers.
Shit. But they, ballers. You know what I'm saying?
Was the Rock
motherfuckers,
there?
They rich though. They rich.
Okay,
they can afford that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, but you know, they cousins. They the cousin twins because sure. they were born 1 month apart. You know what I'm
okay.
saying?
Okay.
So my kids are both born the same day, and my sister's kids are born 1 month before them at the same time. Both of them. Mm. So, you know, they're close. So anyway, so and you know, in lieu of all of that, he don't want no big celebration. The older one wanna go to LA, and the young one, he wants a lot of expensive shit and a German Shepherd.
What's the one that
which
has...
he's not getting?
Why don't you should get a dog?
Why the fuck should I get a dog?
Because do people know that you own a home?
What they got to do with me getting a goddamn dog?
Because that's security.
Got other shit for security. Blam, 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 hoodie fall. Listen to my motherfucking homie Super Dog. I got, you know what I'm saying? I got shit for that.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know what I'm saying? We're going to eventually get a dog, but I got construction going on in my house, so shit. Mm-hmm. You don't need to add another damn situation.
So the son's birthdays are always conflicting with the Mother's Day.
It always falls right up against Mother's Day.
And if I was your wife, I was like,
that's a sitcom
well,
episode.
Fuck them.
You know what I'm saying? It's really, is. It, you know, it gets, this year you got a couple of days in between, so I got to get my shit together. I think last year was on Mother's Day.
Your, oh, wow. your Snapchat will be of you hiding in the bathroom. They're all fucking.
With his daughter. Like, what do we do to
what,
get out of
here? What are we going to do?
Blair Witch Project. Yeah.
Play sick, baby. Play sick. Fall out sleep. In the middle of you sleep. Get out of here.
Oh, shouts out to all the mothers out there.
Shouts out to all the mothers out there who hold it down. You know what I'm saying? Being a mother is a very important job. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we take it for granted, but you know what I'm saying? On the real, the grand scheme of things, you know what I'm saying? They are the glue in the, you know what I'm saying? They are the center of all of the family energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you got to appreciate that shit.
Oh, yeah. You know
Thank you, mama, for not getting an abortion. Saying? That's what I tell her every year. That's how I call my mother and tell her.
Thanks for not listening to dad when he asked if you were going to keep me. Thanks.
Fuck that motherfucker.
So what you want to do?
That shit wasn't know what I mean.
What's gonna happen?
I support your decision.
Shit is kind of crazy when you think about the different sections of life you fall in. Like when you're young and shit, you out there, you might the shit become a variation. I'm late. Oh Lord, have mercy. When you're young, you're like, so what's happening? What we gonna do?
Mm-hmm. Well, my mother was a teen mom, so I always say that. You know, you a teen mom, and you stuck with it. Thank you.
No doubt. Shit, that was deep.
You stuck with it, girl.
You stuck with it. Thank you.
Here's a gift card.
Dear mama.
Here's a gift card to
Tupac. Bro, that was a great Mother's Day gift Tupac gave to his mama.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
That's a legacy. Now she gone.
They're back together.
Mm-hmm.
We hope.
Together again.
Tupac might be in Cuba. Like,
God damn, I can't even go to the funeral.
Well, Auntie Asada.
Damn!
How am we get to the funeral?
Oh, God.
Yeah, oh. man. But, you know, I thank y'all for coming out. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Chris. Shout out to L.
Thanks for having me.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Honored.
So, you know, we're going to transform and roll out. But before we do that, Chris, let them know where you're going to be.
You can check me out at chrislamberth.com. Chris Lamberth on Twitter and Instagram. Comedy dates are all there. So come out.
Come out. L. Clay.
What's going on? Hey, guys. You can check me out at lclay.com. L like the magazine, Clay like Cassius.
Word.
And on Instagram at Southern L.
She be at the snap.
And on Snapchat, really, at L_Clay.
You know what I'm saying? Then you could catch her in a couple of weeks on motherfucking Thorough TV.
306
late. You know what I'm saying?
306 late.
Word.
The nighttime is the right time.
Yep, and that's where I'll be. I'm going to be Thoro TV, Snapchat, T-H-O-R-O TV on the Snap. And I'll be right back here next week in the conversation with you all. And May 22nd, get your tickets for In the Conversation Live. Me, Damian Lemon, Vladimir Camaño at the Cake Shop. Go on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? You could go on my Twitter, Mr. Muhammad, and catch that link to get the tickets. You know what I'm saying? We already got, you know what I'm saying, quite a few people already bought the tickets, so go ahead and get them before they're gone. All right? Holla. Next week, y'all. Peace.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production. Powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts.